It's an election year and feelings are running hot, but if you're ever tempted to rant about your politics on social media, be aware there can be consequences, especially if you own a business. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show video on demand with our partner, TVJax.com. Just ahead, the controversy over one local business owner's comments on social media and why it serves as a cautionary tale. You can get on the line now at 549-2937. Also ahead, travel expert Judy Wells, our Going Green, and also how experts in Duval are working to eradicate food deserts. All of that ahead. But first this hour, we're taking a closer look at the perils of ranting on social media. You may have heard about this, and local business owner Angela Wilcox. In a recent Facebook exchange, the owner of the Avondale Ice Cream Shop, Florida Creamery, posted her opinions about everything from liberals to ISIS to people who don't sign paychecks. Now, the posts have since been taken down, but not before they went viral and were viewed more than 30,000 times. Dozens from around the country then used Yelp and Google reviews to voice their displeasure with Wilcox and her business, resulting in her losing stars on those apps. Others, though, came to her defense, especially people in the Avondale neighborhood. Now, the incident stands as an object lesson in the perils of venting your spleen online. It can have lasting and sometimes unexpected consequences. Alexa Epitropoulos is a reporter with the Jacksonville Business Journal, and she's been following the story. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Thanks for being with us. And here's our question to callers. Have you ever been tempted to write something on social media and thought better of it? Or have you gone ahead and posted exactly what you think? And what happened then? Give us a call with your thoughts and comments about this at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, weigh in on Facebook. And as I mentioned, it's an election year, Alexa. Last night, we heard Donald Trump reacting to the Democratic National Convention saying, nobody on the convention floor said anything last night about ISIS. And even though I believe national security will be a focus of the convention tonight in Philadelphia, it brings home the point that ISIS, fear of terrorism, that has become a heated political talking point for many in this country. And so with that backdrop, the owner of the Florida Creamery, her name is Angela Wilcox, she got into it on Facebook with another business owner. And this was one of the topics they discussed.
Yes, it was a very incoherent argument. However, I think that you could look at the comments and see that you weren't quite sure who she was directing it at. She was talking about beheadings. It was very politically charged, but it's very unclear who she was actually talking to in the rant.
Yeah, she assailed, and I'm quoting from your article, she assailed liberals, ISIS, the left, the intellectual elite, Islam, people who don't sign paychecks. And when people argued with her stances, she said, you will become more conservative as you age or have kids. That was among some of the comments she made.
Yes. It was very much name-calling.
Right. There was some name-calling. Mm-hmm. And so now I go on Facebook almost every day, mm-hmm. and I see comments where people have name-called, or they've really posted very strong opinions, and sometimes they are very angry. In this instance, because she owns a restaurant, we saw the post go viral and people who use Yelp to rate restaurants using the power of Yelp to downgrade the reviews of her restaurant. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, it started earlier than that. So I first became aware of it when it was posted, probably a couple of hours into it. And the Facebook page was already filled with negative reviews, one-star reviews. It had been rated, you know, 4-point-something, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
And it had gone down to 2 stars in a couple of hours. And that just shows you the power that people are looking at these things and they are rating based on them.
That's extraordinary. And people were downgrading her from other cities, people who had never even been to her ice cream business and been to Avondale.
Yes. The Imgur post, as you mentioned, got over 30,000 views in 24 hours. That's incredible.
At the same time, there were plenty of defenders of Angela Wilcox, especially people who are from this area and have patronized the shop.
Yes, I think that there was this push against political correctness. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people knew her personally and thought that maybe she was just, you know, venting and shouldn't have been penalized. Right. Yeah, her business shouldn't be penalized.
And she has declined comment to reporters, but has her business, to your knowledge, seen a drop off?
I can't speak for all hours, but I did go down to Avondale last weekend and only saw one person in her shop. I'm not sure if it was just a slow time, but
yeah, sure. And I've been to the shop. Anyone who's been to the shops of Avondale, chances are you've been by it or you've gone in, especially on a hot day like we're having right now, to get some ice cream. What do you think this says about the larger issue that if you give your unfiltered opinions on social media, they live forever, even if you delete them. Mm-hmm. Somebody will screen grab them and post them somewhere else. That's one. Mm-hmm. And then two, the backlash can be worldwide.
Yes. In this case, she deleted her Facebook account, and that lived far longer just because of a screen cap. Social media is forever. You should assume whatever you're posting on Facebook is going to be screen capped, honestly.
And we're going to go to your calls and tweets, lots of tweets about this, as we discuss how one local business owner's social media posts resulted in business backlash. What do you think about this issue? When you post comments on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever it may be, do you think twice before really speaking plainly or not? We want to know what you think right now. 549-2937 to join us. Ashley is in St. Augustine. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I was actually pretty privy to that conversation, and I have some of the commenters on it were, you know, acquaintances and friends of mine. And as a business owner myself, it is kind of tricky to not get passionate about political, you know, perspectives and stuff. But as a business owner, I think if you present it in a positive light and a less attacking of other religious beliefs, cultures, or, you know, other political views for that matter, I think it would have a more positive effect on your perspective. But with that said, with people's responses being so backlashy and negative, what if that same energy was put into a positive response for small businesses? What kind of difference do you think that would make?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Ashley. And it must be said that the woman on Facebook that Ms. Wilcox was arguing with is also a small business owner in San Marco, and she expressed regret that this has happened to another business owner. What about that, Alexa?
I think the backlash is somewhat surprising. It blew up, you know, within 24 hours, and you can't help but feel a little bad for her because this had an immediate impact on her business, and she might not have known it was as public as it was.
And it really serves, wherever you stand politically, as a cautionary tale. If you have any kind of brand, well, and let's be frank, everybody is a brand on social media today. And whatever you post, whether you own a company or not, is a reflection of your personal brand in the workplace. When you look at this from a business perspective, how do you see that serving as a lesson, I guess, to others?
I think, you know, it applies if you own a business or not. This can be saved. People can view it. Screen caps exist, as I said, and you should definitely assume when you're posting something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram that it can be screen capped and shared on social media. And it should be a cautionary tale, you know, whether you own a business or not.
And on the other hand, you said there's been a backlash in this country, and we've certainly seen it this election year with the rise of Donald Trump, a backlash against what people would describe as political correctness, the feeling that they can't speak plainly, they can't share their unvarnished opinions without suffering some sort of backlash or criticism. What about that aspect of this?
I think there definitely is a push against political correctness, but here's the thing. Political correctness has become such a big deal because your opinions can be shared so broadly now. So, you know, you can say whatever you want. That's your right. However, you might get backlash for it.
Lots of tweets about this as we talk about the Florida Creamery in Avondale. The owner of that ice cream shop suffered intense backlash after posting some frank opinions about ISIS and other topics on social media. Here are a few of your tweets. One pointing out the Google review page for Florida Creamery is now at 2 stars. It has come up somewhat. Companies and organizations should really consider social media training from the owner on down. And here's another tweet from Martin. Be positive, constructive, and helpful, and you will attract customers. Let's go to a few of your calls. 549-2937. Barbara is in St. Augustine. Hey, Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. I'm not a business owner now, but I used to be in Maine, and my personal rule was that anything in writing, whether it was emails or online on social media, had to have a certain tone. And I certainly write some things that I erase. Absolutely. I vent. But then hopefully most of them are not seen.
Right.
You know, I've seen people escalate the wrong way. And I've seen business owners say, we're not going to say this in public. We're not going to have this argument in the store. But then go on Facebook and maybe not be as ranty as this woman, but say things that should not be said in the name of the business. So my rule has always been, if you're not going to do it in the lobby of your business or in your store, then for heaven's sakes, don't do it where it can be saved forever.
Thanks, Barbara. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, I guess. That's a good piece of advice, isn't it, Alexa?
Yeah, I think there has always been this assumption that social media is a little bit more private than talking, you know, person to person in your store. But that's definitely not true anymore, just because it is public and you saw how fast that can happen.
549-2937. Amelia is in downtown Jacksonville. Hi, Amelia. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I think it's very interesting that this business has gotten the opportunity to have its name mentioned on a huge audience base for something that it did negatively, received negatively. This is getting free advertising for her mismanagement of not only herself, but her representation of her business. I'm disappointed that while you mentioned that there's another business in San Marco that is engaged in this, that business name hasn't been. But in 18 minutes of the show, we've heard Florida Creamery, now I've said it again, 6 times. So she's getting free advertising for mishandling herself. And it's frustrating in that respect.
Okay. Thanks for pointing that out. Alexa.
I think that you know, the old saying is true, all press is good press. I think that in this case, it went viral so fast that it was, you know, difficult to not bring it up.
I think that's something that bears repeating, how quickly something can get picked up and shared and rocket around the world in an unbelievably fast amount of time. It really, I think, people, even today in 2016, they still don't always really grasp that.
No, and in this particular instance, when I saw it, it had only been viewed maybe 25,000 times. In the span of a couple of hours, it had been viewed over 30,000. That is incredibly fast.
Joel is in San Marco. Hi, Joel. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. And I grew up in a time, or remember a time as an adult when there wasn't a social media where people made the same kind of controversial, politically charged comments that they make today, but they didn't do it on social media. It was usually in a circle of friends or acquaintances, and that's where it stayed. So I really think that, I mean, the takeaway here for me, and I have, I've posted a few things on my own Facebook account, comments that were, you know, sort of politically charged, nothing too bad. And I probably took a few friends, a backer by surprise. And I think what's missing there is the context. If you make those comments and sitting in a group of friends, there's some context to the statements, the conversation. But when you put it on social media, it's often lacking context and sometimes it's some tact or some common sense.
Yeah, absolutely, Joel. Yeah, thank you, Joel. And I'm with Joel. I came of age in the pre-social media era, and I have to say, Alexa, I'm really grateful for that because when I was younger, I'm sure I would have not had the judgment to think before I posted, and that really can't be stressed enough.
Yes, I think that when you're growing up as a millennial, that's something that you just learn.
It's now inculcated into millennials, yeah.
It goes without saying now. You have to be careful.
Carol in Jacksonville. Hey, Carol, what are your thoughts?
Carol?
Hi, yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I was wondering, did she post them on her business web Facebook media, or was it her personal Facebook media?
It was her personal Facebook.
Yeah, it was her, and she was responding on her personal page to someone else's personal page.
Yes.
Okay, because in my opinion, I think it's okay as long as she keeps it as a personal thing on her own private personal Facebook. I don't think people should be passing judgment. But if it is on her business page, that's a whole other ball of wax because that's including her business front as part of her opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
And that's just kind of my opinion on the whole Facebook thing. I know in Florida, or Jacksonville, Florida, where I'm calling from, is very politically charged and very, you get total people that are very passionate about their politics and football, and those are the two, and religion, and you don't discuss any of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that in my personal opinion, I can do it on my own private page, and it ends up being okay. But if you start putting it on your business pages, it can cause other issues.
Sure. Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
Thank you, Carol. And I'm sure many agree with Carol that we have a long tradition of freedom of speech in this country. Why shouldn't someone be allowed to give their opinions on their personal page without suffering negative consequences to their business? But as you've reported, that's not how it played out.
Definitely not. And I think, you know, there might have been a difference if she had just posted a status on her own Facebook rather than responding to another business owner where this was going to get, you know, a larger reach.
Lots of calls. Let's go to Brian in Villano Beach now. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So the last caller made a great point, and that's why that when you have a personal page, you should keep it private so that those people seeing your comments are those friends that you invited or that you accepted their friend invite. So, but beyond that, this is a perfect example of how we vote with our dollars and with our money, because instead of going out and creating laws against the way people are making comments and the way people are reacting, we're doing it with our dollar, with our money. And I think that's fantastic. It's an unfortunate circumstance, but with anything in life, if you don't like the way somebody is conducting themselves, we should not put laws around them. We should be impacted by the consumer, by us spending money. So I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Alexa.
Yes, I think that you are totally right. People vote with their dollars now, and we've seen this happen to businesses across the country. Social media is incredibly powerful. It could be a business that's in a small town in Indiana, and people are going to, you know, flood their Facebook with negative comments from, you know, Florida. I mean, this is just the world we're living in.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of small business owners, they might not have agreed with Angela Wilcox's remarks, but they probably don't like that, how people clicking on Yelp in California or New York can hurt their business in Florida. I mean, that is the reality.
It is, and I mean, it's a difficult reality. I'm sure that no business owner wants their personal Facebook to count against them, but unfortunately, like I said, that's kind of the world we're living in.
Here's a comment on our Facebook, speaking of Facebook, on our First Coast Connect Facebook page from Reggie. I'm an independent contractor, and I am very careful about everything I post. All my business is referral business. Let's go to Don on the JU campus. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hello, Melissa. Nice to hear the show this morning. An interesting topic.
Yeah, thank you. Is this Don Capener?
Yes, it is.
Well, we have the dean of the business school at JU on the line. Thanks for calling in unprompted. We appreciate it.
Well, I thought this was an interesting topic because of the fact that your business reputation is paramount to how people reference you versus in the past where, you know, we were living in a world without immediate access to ratings such as Yelp and other things. And a lot of it relied on word of mouth and Mm-hmm. And I tell my students sometimes none of them have ever even heard of what the Yellow Pages were. So,
that's right.
Anyway, I date myself there.
You're right. And in the old days, people would look in the Yellow Pages or they'd go by word of mouth. And business is done very differently today, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I thought in contrast to this example that you were bringing up about Chick-fil-A, and I think although a lot of people don't agree, and I have no affiliation nor have I consulted or worked with them at all, but I think the way they handle things is a casebook in how to be effective and respectful of all of their customer base, while at the same time not backing down from the principles that the owners and those who represent the company's interests feel strongly about.
Sure. That's an excellent point, how controversy and much of it fueled by social media affected Chick-fil-A's brand. And that is Dean Capener. Don Capener, he's dean of the Davis School of Business, on the line from JU this morning. Hey, thanks for calling in with pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Don. And let's talk about the Chick-fil-A case study. What about that?
I think there is a certain amount of damage control that has to go on after something like this happens. And I think Chick-fil-A kind of understood that. They definitely didn't back away from their beliefs, but they...
And their belief is in not in support of same-sex marriage. Let's explain
right.
What he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that they were able to, maybe reach out to the customers they had alienated. And they did it in a way that was effective, obviously.
Lots of calls. My goodness, lots of calls. We've touched a nerve today. Hi, Jeff. Jeff in Arlington. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
This is just another example of reality is perception. And when a shop owner, a store owner, or what have you, takes to social media to express a personal opinion and it's tied to a commercial venture, this is the fallout that can result from it. It's not fair. It's not right. But it is the course of human events nowadays, and it has to be considered.
Yeah.
Facebook and all the other social media is a great tool, but it's also a dear diary. And one must be very careful when one puts things out there that it's not in a way that can come back to bite them.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for that. He's right. It is a double-edged sword in so many ways. It is a powerful tool, but you have to wield it very carefully.
I think it's probably one of the most powerful and dangerous tools for businesses, just because everything is more public than you think.
Lyle in Jacksonville. Hi, Lyle. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks
Good,
for
thanks.
Having me on the show again.
Hey.
So I just wanted to make the point. I'm actually a social media manager over at a large insurance company. And I think that you also have to keep in mind that your Yelp page, everything is accessed one click away. You can compare it to someone giving their thoughts in front of a whole on stage in front of a whole audience and saying, hey, everyone right in front of you, here's a review to my business. And I just wanted to keep that in mind, that everything is right there at the fingertips, so easily accessed.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, thanks, Lyle. Let's go now to Elizabeth in Jacksonville Beach. Good morning, Elizabeth. What are your thoughts?
So a previous caller said it isn't fair and it isn't right. But that's just, it is fair and it is right, because she has every right to speak her mind, and if she would have done it in a respectful manner, just stated who she was for, but instead the language that she was using was so troll-like, and I'm so ashamed of, I don't know if you ever get on, gosh, it's, I can't stand it, read the comments on like First Coast News stories, they're all just trolls out there, and that, I'm so glad that somebody is finally being held responsible for the words that they use.
Thanks, Elizabeth. What do you think about her point of view?
I think it's very accurate. I think that many people do this with no, backlash, and that might just have been because it's a, hyper-local situation where we knew immediately this was the owner of Florida Creamery.
Yeah, and most often when you read a news article on any media website and the comments that are posted after it, you can many organizations still allow you to post anonymously, mm-hmm. although some have changed that because of what she's referring to. Mm-hmm. The lowest common denominator, name-calling, trolling, insulting, some media organizations have tried to change that. It's difficult, though.
It's very difficult, especially when you do allow anonymous comments. People feel like they can hide behind their computers.
Yeah. Conrad. We'll go to Omar in a minute. Conrad. Hi, Conrad. How are you?
Very good. I'm as a member of the Concerned Taxpayers of Duval County, board member and a longstanding member of the First Amendment Foundation. I just find this discussion incredible and incredulous that people will so quickly relinquish our most basic of all the rights that we were guaranteed at the time of the writing of the Constitution and formation of this country, that we're so quick to relinquish that due to this political and social correctness that is just taking over everything. It's like we have to be careful, supposedly, at expressing our open thoughts, which is what the rest of the world sees the citizens of the United States being able to do when they can't do it anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and Conrad, I so appreciate you calling and giving your opinion, exercising your free speech rights. And, of course, let's talk about this, because as Conrad pointed out, people who stand with Conrad see this as having an incredibly chilling effect on free speech. At the same time, here's an email from Josh. She is free to give her political opinions, but there's no law that says there won't be consequences for a person giving their opinion. Customers have the right to express their opinion about her opinion. Everyone has First Amendment rights. What do you think, Alexa?
I think that's absolutely correct. Although we do have freedom of speech, we can't really control how people react to that. Sometimes people are not going to react well.
Omar in Springfield. Omar. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Well, first off, I was actually, I'm friends with the person that Angela Wilcox made the comments on and have been friends with her for quite a long time. And I think the big difference from what I'm hearing from other callers is that this wasn't something that she posted on her personal page that was her, you know, reflection of her ideals and thoughts. This was on someone else's page, someone who, if you know her, is someone who's been in the community, especially Riverside and San Marco and in the urban core for years as a business person, is very popular, who, you know, would, in my mind, you think twice when it's something that someone who has access to probably thousands of people, you think twice about what you say, especially being a small business owner in the same community. And, you know, granted, I'm a person who's very vocal and very opinionated on social media, especially on Facebook, and you know, there are times where you have to go back and you have to delete comments and you have to think about what you said, even though you may have said it kind of off on the cusp. But, you know, it's really interesting that in a community such as Avondale and Riverside and such an old community with such, you know, close connections to each other, that she wouldn't think that would be, you know, there would be any consequences from really just such ridiculous accusations and comments on a very base level that have no kind of, you know, base in any kind of fact. But, you know, it was kind of interesting to see, and you know, it's died down, I'll say that, since it happened, and everyone's kind of moved on. But it is something that, you know, unfortunately has affected our business, and I don't think most people are going to be visiting the Florida Creamery anytime soon. So I'll take my comments off here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. And this has died down. This did erupt several days ago, but it's still a timely discussion. And what are your final thoughts, Alexa?
I think that the thing that we have yet to see is some sort of response from the owner of Florida Creamery, which, you know, as I mentioned, damage control is very important in this case. So I think that, you know, if she wants to get some of these customers back, the best thing to do would be to come forward.
Well, to be clear, she did apologize, didn't she?
I have not read any formal apology.
Okay.
I know that she's declined to comment to pretty much all reporters who have contacted her, and that's been a big issue.
Well, we thank you for joining us with sharing your reporting on this. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Alexa Epitropoulos is a reporter with the Jacksonville Business Journal. And much more still ahead later. Travel expert Judy Wells. Today's Going Green. But up next, creating a new food blueprint for Duval County. We'll explain back in a moment.
As Florida school districts prepare students for success in a global knowledge-based economy, how does arts education factor into the plan? Join WJCT for Community Thread, The Politics of Arts Education, as we explore this issue and how advocates are working to ensure that diverse perspectives are represented in the development of new arts policies. Log on to wjct.org/communitythread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be a part of our studio audience on August 4th.
This program is underwritten by the Ann McDonald Baker Family Foundation.
With Democrats making it official in Philadelphia, a moment for the ways it's different being a female candidate.
One of the challenges that they have in front of them is to not present themselves as too intimate, being too personal, weak, feminine. And so they've had to assert themselves with credentials and experience.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Gender roles and the job of modern politics next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
WJCT and Community First Credit Union are pleased to announce that Pedro Noguera, national expert on public education in America, is this year's morning keynote speaker at Teach, Saturday, October 8th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Tickets are $30. For more information, visit wjct.org/teach.
Welcome back. Well, for years, food policy experts here on the First Coast have decried what are known as food deserts, huge areas of town where fresh, healthy food is just not available. If you don't have reliable transportation to what can sometimes be a very far away grocery store, buying fresh produce, lean meats, and the like, that can be next to impossible for thousands of people. New food assessment data for Duval County is out this week, and it's giving everyone a look at the real needs around this issue and how fresh food access can become a reality for everyone in Jacksonville. Cecil Williams is the chair of the Duval Food Policy Council, and he's here with more. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So the council has some new data about this. What does the data show?
Well, fortunately, and I think surprisingly for me, that the data really, the majority of response were from millennials, and they represented 70% mm-hmm. of the respondees. So those are folks under the age of 35, primarily female. The race and ethnicity reflected what you would expect for our area. 75% of the people responding had household incomes of less than $40,000, and 73% of them were households with children, with children or at least one child. The data unfortunately showed or validated what we thought, and that a lot of people in Duval County are food insecure. 50% don't know or are concerned about where their next meal is going to come from.
Right. And very often these are working people that are living on such a small budget that they can't always afford to buy enough food to feed their family or
correct.
Feed themselves.
Correct. The respondees indicated that they couldn't eat the food that they desire to eat. But what I found encouraging was that there was recognition of what a balanced diet was. They knew the recommended daily allowances for fruit and vegetables, so they know what proper eating is or how to eat correctly, but they just can't afford the foods.
Right. They can't afford it or it's not in their neighborhood.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, transportation is an issue. And the food – This food assessment is the genesis for development of a food plan, and we'll be starting that this Thursday at the Health Department with the Food Policy Council meeting, and that's at 900 University Boulevard at 515. But to start to deal with some of those issues around transportation, land use, zoning, all those things that impact a person's ability to access fresh food.
In the development of this new food plan for Duval County, as you said, you're going to be meeting about this Thursday night. What are some of the concrete steps, doable things, that can actually be done here in Jacksonville to make some change around this?
Well, we need to address the county's comprehensive plan and make food and food access part of it. And other communities around the country have done that. And that'll have an impact on zoning and an impact on self-reliance and an individual taking responsibility for, doing more urban agriculture. We fortunately in this county passed regulations that makes it allowable to have backyard chickens. Other communities look at livestock and some of those issues, and that people can all be self-reliant in how they access food. But transportation is an issue that's also on the table. So those are doable things. The job of a food policy council is to bring the stakeholders together to influence local policy regarding food. It's our democracy in action.
Sure. And there is a plan known as the Santa Fe Food Plan that you're going to be looking at as a template. And I assume this is about Santa Fe, New Mexico, and changes they made?
Yeah, correct.
What did Santa Fe do?
Well, Santa Fe had specific goals around, food access, goals, related to their agricultural community. Ours will have to be more regional from that perspective. Goals around self-reliance and empowering folks, and then also goals specifically around how to best use existing resources and safety nets in the community to help those who are food insecure.
Anyone who's interested in this topic needs to come to Thursday night's meeting of the Duval Food Policy Council. As Cecil said, this is going to be at the Health Department's building at 900 University Boulevard. Get on over there Thursday night, 5 o'clock, because you want input from the community.
Exactly. We want all stakeholders at the table. And you brought up the Santa Fe plan. Yes, it's a model, but it's important that our model reflects what our community stakeholders view as valuable or important. And we prioritize based off of our needs.
Again, that is Thursday evening. The Duval Food Policy Council wants you to attend and give your ideas. This meeting starts at 5:15 at the Health Department building at 900 University Boulevard. Cecil Williams, who chairs the Duval Food Policy Council, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Boxer Claressa Shields was 17 when she won gold at the London Olympics. Then she came home.
I was literally going to sleep and I would see all black. Like I wasn't able to dream because my dream had been accomplished. Now I'm like, what do I do now?
The answer? Work toward a second gold medal in Rio. We catch up with her and hear the latest from the Democratic National Convention, too, later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Unlock your newest member benefit. Over 1,000 episodes of your favorite PBS shows. American Masters. Antiques Roadshow. Nature. Nova. Masterpiece. Watch the best of PBS anytime, anywhere. Become a member. Sign in and start streaming today.
WJCT.org/passport.
Today, we can get just about anything in the grocery store, even in the coldest and most remote places in the U.S.
Do you carry strawberries?
We do carry strawberries.
Even when it's negative 57?
Yes, ma'am.
But what's the price workers pay for the convenience of year-round strawberries? On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
This week on Invisibilia, we explore the stories of people who faked it till they became it.
I said, well, what if we just created like a fake celebrity entourage and let's just see how many people actually will think I'm famous.
Guys, what was it like meeting Brett?
I love him!
But can change happen from the outside in? That's on the next Invisibilia from NPR.
Saturdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, it's an innovative and sustainable new process for screen printing, and it's creating the most eco-friendly T-shirts in town. Chris Sellen of the local firm Automaton has more, and it's today's Going Green on the show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Melissa.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've partnered with some artists at Cork to create a new artist series of T-shirts. You'll be launching that label at an event. We'll talk about that in a minute. First, though, what is this process for screen printing, and why is it getting attention?
It's we use water-based ink, which is more eco-friendly than plastic-based or oil-based materials. So it goes on the shirt very soft and soaks in like a dye, as opposed to the more common plastic, which lays on top. And it's also better when it goes down to the drain and it gets to the treated in the plants, because it's a water, you know, as opposed to
So it doesn't contaminate the groundwater supply.
Yes, exactly.
How'd you come up with this?
Oh, well, I just want to say I didn't come up with
you didn't
it.
Come up with
no,
this.
No, I didn't invent it, but it's not a very common practice. I mean, there's probably only a couple in the state. And you know, it's a very small number.
And why is that? Is this a little more expensive?
It's more time consuming. It's more expensive. It takes more skill to operate. It's a little more involved. I mean, I think it'll probably be the standard in like 20 years, but until then it's more of a, you know, it's just not as popular yet.
Right. Yeah. It hasn't caught on yet.
Right.
So
exactly.
You're leading the way here in Jacksonville.
Yes.
What made you decide to do this?
Because I started the way everyone else does with the other material, and you not only have a more hazardous ink that you're working with, but also the chemicals you're using to clean up are more hazardous. So I didn't want to be around them, and I also didn't want other people to be walking around with it in their shirts. And it also creates a higher quality product that's more of a high fashion thing, like you would see on a dress that has a print. There's no feel, so it's more like a dye. So not only is it more eco-friendly, but I think it creates a better product.
What's the reaction been from your customers?
They love it, especially local entrepreneurs that, you know, our thoughts align on kind of, you know, our ethos about the environment and quality over quantity is kind of like the key word there.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might pay a little more, but it's a better quality product.
And people can check out the product because you're having a block party for Automaton, a clothing line launch.
Yes, we are.
This is going to be everything from a skate party to a product launch party to a music party. Tell us all about it.
Okay, so it's going to be at the Block Skate Supply this Saturday from 4 to 10 p.m. And we are going to be launching our clothing line because for the past... about since 2012, I've been, you know, doing my graphic design, illustration, and screen printing company, mostly servicing other companies. So this is our, you know, endeavor into doing our own designs. So I'll be working with a couple local artists. I'll be working with Jessica Becker, who's a mural artist from Neptune Beach, and she most notably did Taco Lou. And then we'll also with Sean Thurston, who's done a lot of the murals in downtown and just, you know, all around swell guy. So we'll be doing T-shirt designs with them and myself, specifically illustrations on T-shirts. So that will be the one of the main event. And then we're also having The Block. I'm collaborating with them, and they're putting on a Best Trick Skate Jam. It's all ages. Anyone can enter. And then... So those are the two main things, basically.
Very nice. And this is Saturday from 4 to 10 at the Block Skate Supply. That's at 537 Park Street. It's the Automaton Block Party and the launch of your line.
Yes.
The most eco-friendly T-shirt line anywhere around. Chris Sellen, thanks for going green with us on the show, and have fun this weekend.
Thank you, Melissa.
Back in a moment with Judy Wells.
This Going Green segment is brought to you by the Unitarian Universalist Church of Jacksonville.
On the next Fresh Air, journalist Amy Chozick talks about her experiences covering Hillary Clinton. She's written extensively about the Clintons, first for the Wall Street Journal and now for the New York Times, where she's a national political reporter. This week, Chozick is at the Democratic National Convention. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Hello, I'm Mayor Lenny Curry. It's hurricane season. Are you Jacks ready? Learn more about how you can keep yourselves and your family safe during a storm. Download the 2016-2017 City of Jacksonville Preparedness Guide today at jacksready.com and tune in to 89.9, the area's official emergency broadcast station.
Welcome back. Instagrammers, we want your pet photos this week. It's our new I Love WJCT contest on Instagram. Now, what we want you to do is post a wonderful, gorgeous picture on Insta of your pet, your dog, your cat, your bird, your pot-bellied pig. We don't care. But our Instagram theme this week is in honor of the popular movie The Secret Life of Pets. So post that pet pic on Instagram and use the hashtag I Love WJCT when you do it. We're going to publish our favorite Instagram pick of the week in our newsletter, First Read. You can subscribe to First Read and get all the news of the day delivered to your inbox every morning. Just go to WJCTnews.org and look for that Instagram winner this Friday. Well, finally, this hour, she's just back from a river cruise through five countries with five different languages spoken. The great Judy Wells, back from her roaming. She's here to tell us all about Budapest, Hungary, to Bucharest, Romania. Good morning.
Good morning. Also, Banner Elk, North Carolina.
Oh, man. You know, I say this every time I see you. I'm so jealous. I'm just constantly jealous of you. You have the best travel adventures of anybody I have ever met. So where were you the last time?
Well, both the Balkans and Banner Elk. We know when you go from Hungary to Croatia to Serbia to Bulgaria to Romania, it may be the only river cruise about which you will say, if it's Tuesday, it must be Bulgaria.
Right.
There's great similarities in these countries.
Really?
They all have fields of wheat, corn, sunflowers, and paprika. There are agricultural areas.
Uh-huh.
Houses are topped with red tile roofs, and there's a Mediterranean climate to go with them. Beautifully embroidered fabrics, whimsically carved wooden figures, gleaming icons, spires of Orthodox churches, traces of repressive Roman, Turkish, Austro-Hungarian, German, Yugoslavian, and Russian rulers, graceful Baroque, Art Nouveau, and Art Deco architecture among dispiriting, crumbling, monolithic flats from the communist era, and stubborn independence, centuries of wars, and pride in having achieved freedom at last.
And so, culturally, this must be a fascinating region of Europe to go visit.
It is. And, you know, but some mornings you have to consult the ship's itinerary to make sure where you are. Then you try to remember what the cruise director said about the currency at last night's pork talk. Each country has its own currency.
Not on the euro.
They're on their European Union membership, but some don't accept euros. Some will accept low-denomination dollars if they are pristine, never any coins other than their own, and the change will be in their currency. You whip out a credit card, and the price of the souvenirs is going up.
Huh. Wow. And these are small countries. You can zip from one to the next like we go from, you know, Florida to Georgia.
Uh-huh. They're fascinating, frustrating, and unforgettable. And I guarantee if you do it, you will return to America feeling incredibly fortunate that you call it home.
Wow.
It still is the greatest country, and I've been into enough to know.
You've been to almost every country.
I was there for the 4th of July, and it was more meaningful than any amount of red, white, and blue bunting or bursting firecrackers in air.
Now, listen, Judy, you took a river cruise through Eastern Europe.
I did.
Do you recommend that?
I do very much. For your first time there, particularly, and if you're not really an avid exploring traveler, it's pretty much a no-brainer.
Okay.
You unpack once. You have experts around you to tell you, you know, what's best. Interesting company. When I was on the Vantage River Splendor, along with about 168 others, almost all were Americans, some of whom were on their 12th trip on the line.
Wow. So that says a lot about it. And it's different than an ocean-going cruise.
It is. You know, you don't have the movement, so you don't have to worry about seasickness.
Mm-hmm.
You're tied up on, you know, every night, every evening, every day you're tied up against land or against another river ship. You get to see other river ships crossing from one to another sometimes to get to land. You do a lot. You either do your touring on foot or with a coach to take you beyond the port. It's really nifty.
No downsides.
There are always downsides, but I choose not to find
them. You choose not to look at them.
But now closer to home, Banner Elk is a one stoplight town.
In North Carolina?
In North Carolina, between Beach and Grandfather Mountains. And you think, oh, okay, not much there. Surprise, surprise. They have excellent food, lots of things to do. Got kids. You take it to the Apple Hill Alpaca Farm. You've got alpacas, llamas, Mr. Pickles the pig, chickens, donkeys, angora goats, horses and dogs, and the alpacas. The May Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, part of Lees McRae College, has summers and weekends, they have animal presentations. And we met a barred owl, a red-tailed hawk, a crow, a baby bobcat, and observed a Canada goose receive acupuncture treatment.
All of this, by the way, is on Judy's website,
right.
A World of Tips for Your Travel, all of it online, one click away at wellsworld.net. And we are out of time, but go roaming, take some tips from Judy. She's got some good deal links as well.
Artisanal restaurant and Louisiana Purchase restaurants. Outstanding food.
Always love the tips. And again, it's wellsworld.net with Judy Wells. That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show with video on demand at our partner, TVJax.com. Next on Diane Rehm, an update on day two of the Democratic Convention as Bill Clinton takes the stage and ongoing efforts by party leaders to build unity. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.